Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. Hi, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful day. If you're new here, a warm welcome. Thank you for checking out my channel. All I ask is that after listening to and or watching the video, if you find you enjoyed it or learned something, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, let's dig in. Well, hello there, bed crimers. Also, hello to anyone new. Hope you're having a great day. It's Friday. Not only has law enforcement searched the area surrounding missing 15-year-old Sebastian Rogers' home in Stafford Court, Tennessee, EquiSearch Midwest has two. In 2 days, they searched 43 ponds with both sonar and drones. This would seem to indicate that Sebastian was driven away by someone, especially because whatever canine dogs were used, they were not able to lead investigators to the child. Sebastian's mother, Katie, and his stepfather, Chris Proudfoot, have jumped ship. They've taken to living in an RV in Memphis, away from the home that Sebastian you'd think would return to if he could. As the last person allegedly to see the autistic teen alive, Katie would naturally be the first person law enforcement would look at as a potential suspect in Sebastian's disappearance. A lot of Katie Proudfoot's behavior is not what we typically would expect from a biological mom whose cub is lost.
Although he doesn't like to be dirty, it's kind of funny because he also doesn't have awareness, because if you look, he's got chocolate milk on his face because he didn't wipe it off at breakfast.
In her first interview with Chronicles of Olivia, Katie said that about Sebastian, mentioning the chocolate milk on his mouth. Instead of describing her child so that anyone out there had a good chance of identifying him if they happened to come upon a kid, Katie holds a photo up and criticizes Sebastian for failing to wipe away chocolate milk from his mouth. Shouldn't these first interviews be focused on Katie telling us to please look for Sebastian? Oh my God, guys, sorry to break the narration, but I went to the dentist this morning and the right side of my mouth is still a little bit goofy. So if I pronounce something strangely, I'm gonna say that's why. I can't get my lips to work right. Shouldn't Katie be telling us how to approach him if we think we see him? He's autistic and he may require a rescuer to speak to him in a certain way or to move toward him in a certain way. Katie describes herself as being alone with Sebastian when he went missing. She said, quote, "We got up. Fun fact, I made breakfast." This to me sounds like a mother trying to show us what a good, attentive, and virtuous mother she is. Why is it a fun fact that she made her son breakfast? This information sounds like extraneous details that aren't needed. The type of language you typically hear when people aren't being 100% honest. They tend to fill up their answers with information that is unnecessary. And personally, I find it odd that she spends so much time telling us exactly what they did on Sunday, the day before Sebastian supposedly went missing. Katie emphasizes what a great time she and Sebastian had that day. This smacks once again of her trying to show us what a virtuous mother she is. This, despite Sebastian going missing under her care. Most mothers who are good mothers don't talk like that in these situations. They don't feel the need to convince us that they are good moms. This type of language was also used by Candace Bly when her daughter Summer Wells went missing. Katie emphasizes that Sebastian had a good time at a place called BJ's where he ate a colossal popcorn. Do we need to know that? Okay, you reached deep into your pocket and you bought him the colossal size as opposed to the kitty size, and he scarfed it all down. Okay.
Who cares?
She mentions buying snacks for Sebastian because he's a teenager and he needs snacks. Who cares? Most parents buy their kids snacks and they don't expect a pat on the back for it. They go then to the bowling alley, then dinner at the Texas Roadhouse. Note that she didn't tell us where they had dinner. We learned that later from, I think, JLR Investigates. Now, I would think that would be a detail she would want to share with us. Tell us where he had dinner. Maybe someone saw something there. Maybe someone noticed something there. Maybe they have security video, which they did have. That's the type of information she should have shared. We don't care about the colossal popcorn. Sebastian then takes the garbage out, supposedly, to the end of the driveway. Katie says because that's his chore. She says that at about 9 o'clock, she told Sebastian to go to bed. And then she spends time telling us that Sebastian said goodnight to his puppies and said, "I love you." Now, according to language expert Peter Hyatt, this is a red flag. Most parents typically say, "I love you" to their kids, and the kids then normally parrot it back by saying, "I love you too." Per Hyatt, if a parent in this type of situation mentions the "I love you" part, that is a red flag. It's almost like they're trying to convince us that there was a loving rapport between them. They love their kids. The kid loves them back. When I heard Hyatt say that, I couldn't help thinking back to Madeline Soto, her so-called stepdad, chronic essayer, Stephen Stearns, told a reporter that he told Maddie he loved her when he dropped her off for school and she said it back to him. Sorry guys, there's some drilling going on at my house. No, not that kind of drilling. Actual drilling. So if you hear it, that's what you're hearing, and I apologize. Now listen to Stephen Stearns. Oh, she was sleeping all right. She was sleeping the eternal sleep, possibly propped up in his car. So now listen to what Katie Proudfoot said.
About 9 o'clock, told him to go to bed. And come out of his room where he was playing. And he said, "All right, good night, Mama. Good night, puppies. Love you." And went to bed.
So Sebastian's saying goodnight to his puppies, and he tells his mom he loves her. Then Katie says that an hour later, she hears some noise in Sebastian's room and she tells him, quote, "I don't care what you're doing in there, but go to bed," end quote. Something about "I don't care what you're doing in there" combined with "but go to bed" strikes me as telling Sebastian, "I don't care what you're doing," as in, no matter what you're doing, I don't really care. But then go to sleep. It's like, go stop. I don't care what you're doing. Oh, okay, Mom. And then you're telling him to go to bed. I don't know. There's a disconnect for me. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe you do see it. And also, why don't you care? I mean, if you care about your kid, wouldn't you be concerned about what he's doing in there if you hear some weird noises? She doesn't go in and check. Katie then says in the first interview that she went to bed around midnight. In that first interview, she then jumps straight to 6 o'clock Monday morning. "I went to wake him up and he wasn't there." Peter Hyatt said, "If we accept that Chris Proudfoot was away in Memphis when Sebastian went missing, that leaves only the mother in the home." Yeah, Hyatt believes that it's possible Sebastian did something to anger Katie, or that for some reason Katie got angry with Sebastian. Now, we all know that teenagers at times can be difficult, and that's natural. Sebastian was both autistic and a teenager. And in addition, he was a sufferer of something called chromosomal deletion syndrome. The latter sounds like it delayed Sebastian in some ways. His biological father, Seth Rogers, has said that while Sebastian was 15, he was more like 10 when it came to his maturity level. Sebastian, it sounds like, still had trouble from time to time wetting himself. This happened at school, and I'm also wondering if it happened at home in bed sometimes. sometimes. He could at times not do what his parents told him to. Seth described a time when he told Sebastian that after he cleaned his room, the two of them would go swimming, and Sebastian kept playing and he failed to clean his room. So Seth, wanting to teach him a lesson, got into his swimming trunks and walked down the hall as if he were going to the pool. Sebastian saw that and got upset that Seth was leaving without him. What I'm trying to say is that Sebastian, with his special needs, at times could be a challenging child. Maybe after a long day of dealing with him, a mother or a father would not have as much patience. So no doubt Katie had her hands full at times. Peter Hyatt speculated that perhaps Katie got upset with Sebastian Sunday night. She then called up her husband, Chris Proudfoot, and told him about it. And perhaps the punishment for whatever Sebastian supposedly did was to lock him out of the house barefoot with a flashlight. We know that Sebastian was terrified of going outside barefoot because of stepping on fire ants as a child, so this would definitely be a cruel punishment for him. Was that punishment Chris Proudfoot's idea? Being outside barefoot in the dark at night would likely have caused Sebastian to freak out. Hyatt said that maybe Sebastian accidentally fell into a body of water, although so far they haven't been able to find him in any of that water. Or maybe he was picked up by someone evil who happened to be driving by at that time of night. Either way, Hyatt said, based on Katie and Chris Proudfoot's language and behavior, he doesn't believe that they deliberately did Sebastian in. He doesn't think they did him in at all. He does think that maybe they kicked him out of the house as a punishment, locked him out there, and then something happened to him. Hyatt felt that Chris and Katie are perhaps allied in telling their story. And because of their past issues with Child Protective Services, or CPS, and Chris's current custody issues with his former wife, Nina Gomez, and his baby daughter, Faith, both Chris and Katie might fear repercussions from CPS if they were found to be negligent in some way with Sebastian. Hyatt seemed to think that, yes, Sebastian walked out of the home barefoot, but not because he wanted to, but rather because he was forced to as a punishment. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments, smash that like button, and I'll see you next time on Bedcrime Stories.